Good day, I'm Jackie Judd with Health on the Hill. One of the first significant tests of the health care overhaul bill is fast approaching. Here to discuss that and other issues is Noam Levy of the Los Angeles Times. Welcome.
Thank you. We're glad to have you.
So the new law mandated that by mid-June, high-risk pools be implemented at the federal level and or at the state level. $5 billion in the bill to help people with serious illnesses who are not already covered. Where do the efforts stand?
Well, the bill requires the states to set up these high-risk pools and then for the federal government to step in if the states don't do
that. If they choose not to.
Right. So the hope is that each state will go forward and do this. Many states, as you probably know, already have high-risk pools in operation. But the Health and Human Services Department is in the process of trying to develop regulations about how those high-risk pools would interact with existing state pools, trying to figure out the eligibility rules, and deal with some states that may decide that they don't want to do this. We've already heard from one, the state of Georgia has said they're not interested in participating, so the federal government's going to have to figure out a way to backstop behind states like Georgia.
Late last week, HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius spoke in Chicago at the Association of Healthcare Journalists meeting. What did she say about some of the challenges that face her and her department?
Well, she acknowledged that there is an enormous amount to be done. I mean, the broadly speaking, I went and counted this the other day, and in the bill, the word secretary shall appear 1,051 times. Now, that's not just for Sebelius. It's also for the Treasury Secretary and the Labor Secretary. But she has acknowledged that they have an enormous amount to do. There's a sort of set of deadlines going forward. You mentioned, obviously, the high-risk pools. That's one of the first things. And states have to actually report back, I think, by the end of this week, whether they're going to participate. But the secretary has a lot of work to do.
Now, in terms of the consumer who may be eligible for the high-risk pools, what are the thresholds for people that have to be met to get in?
Well, the important one is that the legislation requires that someone be without insurance for 6 months before they sign up for these high-risk pools, which is going to potentially be complicated for some people if they're in, they've just lost a job, or if maybe they're in the existing high-risk pool in a state, but the premiums are higher there. Many of these high-risk pools have very high premiums for people. We don't know where the premiums are going to be for these new high-risk pools that are set up by the government. So that's going to be an issue for consumers.
Okay. Let's move over to Capitol Hill. There is a move among some Senate Democrats to already add some legislation to the health care overhaul bill to allow government regulators to have a say in raising insurance premiums. Where does that stand?
Well, you may recall that when President Obama sort of made his final push for the health care bill, he proposed that
the federal regulatory board.
Yes.
Yep.
And also sort of setting a floor for states to give them the ability to block premium increases. That didn't make it in the bill. So what was left in the health care bill was actually quite arguably weak. There is a requirement in the bill that insurance companies will have to meet certain minimum, what are called medical loss ratios. They have to spend a minimum amount of their premium revenues on medical claims. What the effort underway now would do would sort of strengthen the ability of state regulators, and again, if the states don't do it, allow the federal government to step in to review any premium increases and not just publicize them or require insurance companies to explain them, which is what the bill currently does, but actually give insurance companies, insurance regulators the ability to block them. Now, the challenge, of course, is there's not a lot of time on the Hill between now and November. There's some concern. Republicans are quite reluctant to further expand regulatory authority for government. So Senator Dianne Feinstein in the Senate is working with the Senate Majority Leader, other senior Democrats in the Senate, to figure out if they can attach this provision, relatively small, to some other larger piece of legislation, maybe the financial regulatory reform bill that's going forward, maybe some other vehicle.
You mentioned the midterm elections in November. Is the goal of Feinstein and other Democrats who support this to get it done, if it can be done at all, by then?
Yes, it is. I mean, for a number of reasons. I think a lot of consumer groups, as well as, I guess, potentially more importantly on the Hill, Democrats who are facing re-election are quite concerned that if insurance companies raise premiums dramatically between now and November or going forward, a lot of Americans will sort of look at the health care bill and look at what's happened and say, wait a minute, I thought we went through this whole exercise of passing a big bill so that I wouldn't have to pay more money.
Right.
So I think they want to try to get something in place to protect consumers and protect themselves.
Okay. And late last week, a report came out that could also provide some political fodder for the Republicans in particular, a report from the HHS actuary analyzing the health care overhaul bill. It had some analysis in there that the Republicans could rightly point to and say, look, we told you so.
It did, although it also had quite a lot of analysis in there that conformed pretty clearly to what we knew about the bill beforehand. And I think you're right to put it in the political context, because I think the discussion of that report was more of a political artifact than it was a policy one. The actuary, which is this independent agency within HHS, went through the bill and looked at a number of different potential impacts of the bill. What it would cost, how many people it would insure, and potentially its impact on Medicare. Now, you mentioned the fodder for opponents. The actuary concluded that the total spending on healthcare in this country would go up over the next 10 years as a result of the bill. Now, President Obama and other Democrats who are arguing for the bill said that one of the main reasons was to control costs. So how do you reconcile those two? I think...
Now, the actuary did not include the changes to the tax laws.
That's right.
So
that's
that,
right.
That could change the bottom line.
Well, it could change the bottom line, but the fundamental fact that when you insure 33-plus million more people and the federal government provides additional aid for Medicaid and premium subsidies, that there would be more spending was not a surprise to anyone. But it did underscore, I think, the challenge, which is that if you're going to insure a lot more people, you're going to spend more money on health care, and then you really have to look elsewhere if you want to try to restrain that growth by making the system more efficient. That's the big challenge.
But you were right to point out there is something in that report for both sides, isn't there? I mean, the fact that, of course, it is going to insure 33 to 35 million more people.
It is going to insure more people, and there was a companion report which got significantly less attention that the actuary released that mentioned that Medicare's solvency would be extended another 12 years as a result of the bill. You know, the main trust fund in Medicare was originally projected to start running in the red in 2017. Actuaries concluded that in part because of the savings in the bill to Medicare, as well as the they did take into effect a new Medicare tax on high-income people, that those two factors would in fact extend the life of Medicare and even reduce premiums for some for beneficiaries. So that, you know, as you mentioned, there's a little for both sides.
Right,
I think.
And even on that point, the flip side of that is that the actuary said that some hospitals could be in jeopardy because of the reduction.
That's right. Right. And it's also worth noting that the actuaries raised the concern that has been raised by a number of independent people that cutting Medicare going forward is always a political challenge for lawmakers. And there's a question about whether they'll have the fortitude to actually do that going forward.
Right. Never very clear cut.
No.
Thank you very much. Noam Levy of the Los Angeles Times. Good to have you here. And nice to have you here, too. This is Jackie Judd, and this has been Health on the Hill.